Okay, thank you. I appreciate that introduction. I would like to just recognize a co-author here, Bud Malone, who is a extension poultry scientist at the University of Delaware. Actually, he just retired in January, but he was involved in the development of this project and has been working with this issue for years. And when we look at the issue of nutrient losses during temporary field storage and what brought us to actually doing this project, where, first of all, in the Delmarva region, on the Delmarva Peninsula, as you probably well aware, we have a very large poultry industry, and it's a very common practice to take poultry litter and store it in a field temporarily when it comes out of the production site, to go to a field and store it in that field before you're going to apply it. And this allows a couple different things. One of the most important things that it allows you to do is it allows you to take that litter farther away from the production facility, because if you can't go and stack this litter in a field a certain distance away, then you'll tend to concentrate that litter all in close to the production facility, because if you're loading in a house directly into a manure spreader and going right to a field, then you're limited by the tractor distance of hauling that, as opposed to if you can put it in a semi, you could take it to another farm 10 miles away, 20 miles away, or take it to another state if you want to, and then store it in the field. But there's a push that if we have these piles out in the field for more than 14 days, that they should be covered with some type of a cover. But when we talk to local growers and suggest this, most of our growers will say it's not a very practical thing to do, because of it just takes a lot of babysitting, a lot of replacing. I have one grower that I work with who's an outstanding grower, told me one winter he put a large pile up, covered it with litter, or covered it with a poly, and got it all tacked down, and came back the next morning, drove by that field, and it split right down the middle. So he gave up at that point with this idea of covering. And what a lot of growers have said is that they will take that litter and either not use it or not pile it in the field. They'll actually spread it possibly at the wrong time. If you look at our current policy in Delaware, the Delaware Nutrient Management Commission has a regulation policy that says poultry litter can be out for 90 days if certain procedures are followed. And we actually have a state law that says that the procedures are that has to be pushed up into an A shape, conical shape, has to be at least 6 feet tall, has to be 100 feet from any water, 200 feet from any public residence. But anyway, as we looked at this current level of knowledge a few years ago, Bud Malone put together a meeting of the minds to try to figure out what we knew about litter about nutrients coming out of these litter piles. And basically what they concluded is that we really didn't have any information on nutrient losses from production size piles, the piles that are actually being used by growers out in the field. Everything that we had to this point was small research size piles that might be only 5 to 10 tons of litter, as opposed to 100 or 150, 200 tons of litter that would be in a production size pile. And so our DNMC, that's a Delaware Nutrient Management Commission, which is really our regulating body related to nutrients in Delaware, came to us at the university and asked us if we would do some research to try to quantify and determine how much nutrient is actually coming out of these piles and what nutrients are most important. And so that launched us into this project that I'm going to describe today. And we had a couple different objectives. One was to determine the quantity and types of nutrients that are coming out of these piles, out of production size piles, and then to evaluate the length of storage to compare 14 days versus 90 days versus 180 days with the litter being out in a field. And then we also looked at some alternative methods of covering these piles, as opposed to just going out and put a poly cover on. We tried spraying on some carbon-based materials, we tried spraying on some polymer spray-on materials, several different things I'm really not going to have time to get into today, but I can summarize that quickly and basically tell you that none of the alternative methods that we really looked at did anything in terms of reducing the amount of nutrients that came out of these piles. So let's just look at some observations first of all. Just if you haven't seen a poultry litter pile in the field, I think it's important to understand if that poultry litter pile is pushed up correctly, you'll get a certain you'll get this wet layer that'll form around that litter. This litter pile here is about six and a half feet tall when we first put it up, And this has been out. This was taken, this poultry litter pile was pushed up to about November 1st, and this would have been taken in March. But you can see there's actually a 12-inch ruler right here. It's hard to see that, but there's about an 8-inch layer of moisture there on that pile. And what happens is you'll get this moisture layer that'll form on the surface, and then that litter or that water, it'll kind of crust over, and that water will start to run down the edges. And you'll get this saturated zone here along the edges. So you have saturated zone here, you'll have wet layer here, or wet litter here, and a saturated zone here. And then everything underneath that will basically be, when we come in and take samples of that, it's basically this, very similar to what it was when we laid it down in terms of nutrient contents and moisture contents. So what we did in order to try to determine what kind of nutrients come out of here, and incidentally, I've found that some growers, that they'll maximize this angle of repose, and you'll find that this wet layer will actually reduce. It'll be smaller, which I think just makes sense from a physics standpoint. But anyway, what we wanted to try to do is two different things see if we could quantify the nutrients that were coming out of these litter piles. One was to take the litter pile off and then just take soil samples underneath that pile. So we take them here in the center, take them in this part, we take them out here on the edge, we take them slightly outside the edge, and then we go out 30 feet outside the pile to be sure that we were in an area that had not been impacted by the poultry litter, to get a feel for what kind of nutrient loading we were getting under these piles. And we had a second method that we also tried, which was we had these 6-foot stainless steel pans that were built 4 feet deep that were actually we after the poultry litter pile was pushed up, we inserted those, that we dug out a piece of, a portion of the litter here and inserted that pan, what we were trying to do was capture this wet area. So we went in about 3 feet, and then we had a roof built over the edge of that so no water could get in it. We dug a hole in the ground and put a tank there, had a drain in the corner of that pan so that we could collect any runoff that occurred throughout the duration of this study, and that was over about 180 days. And we ended up, we did that 3 different times over 3 years, and each of these piles were oriented in a north-south direction, and we put a pan on this side and we put a pan on this side, so we had an east side and we had a west side in some of these data that you'll see. So one of the things you'll also see when a poultry litter pile is removed, it's piled out in the field and then it's spread, and particularly if that field is no-tilled, you'll come in and you'll see there'll be no crop growing where that poultry litter pile was at. This is a cornfield. This was taken in probably about June 20th. And this corn, this area right here was where the poultry litter pile was at. And, whoops, how do I go back? You can see nothing came up here. There's actually a couple places where a plant did come up and it died. And our thought process has always been, well, we've just got a tremendous amount of nitrogen out here. All those salts are not allowing anything to grow. And incidentally, this is actually a pile where we had 4 different treatments. This was a large pile. It was probably about a 300-ton pile. And we had different treatments that we set up. Clear down on this end was what we called our no-cover treatment. And then this area right here was where we had a poly cover, and then down here was a spray-on polymer. And what you can see in terms of what's in the soil in terms of trying to get something to grow, it really didn't make any difference. We still got nutrients, obviously, into the soil, regardless of whether we had that poly cover on there or not. So let's go and look at some of the data now. First of all, we'll look at the runoff data from the pans that I just described to you. We'll start off and look at ammonium nitrogen. This is milligrams of N per liter. Again, remember I said there's an east side and a west side, and this poultry litter pile was pushed up about November 1st, took about 3 inches of rain over about 4 or 5 events before we ever got any runoff. And so the first runoff event occurred on December 5th of 2005, and this is what the concentration looked like in the east side. This is what the concentration looked like in the west side. So you can see typically, and I'm just going to show you one example of the curves. They all tend to look like this. You have a very high concentration originally, and then it'll drop off and can tend to stay fairly stable. But it is a very high concentration. You can see here, on average, we were about 1,500 parts per million of ammonium nitrogen coming out of that pile. The question is, though, that's a concentration. And the question is, what was the total loading? And in all of these runoff events, we were able to capture the total amount of runoff. and we measured that volume, and then we measured the concentration so we could come up with a total load. So then I had to take that data and say, all right, how do I convert that into a total amount of nitrogen? And so I had to make an assumption. And that first assumption was, let's try to come up with a typical poultry litter size. And poultry litter sizes will vary across the landscape and the farmer and the field size. But I came up with and said 100 tons is a typical good average. A 100-ton pile, which would be 30 meters long, 5.5 meters wide. That's 100 feet by 18 feet. And so we took that concentration that I found in that 6-foot length of pile, divided that by 6, and then multiplied it by a perimeter that you would see with this pile, be 236 feet. And what we found across the 3 different years where we've done this, again, an east side and a west side, so 6 reps, if you will, the amount of a nitrogen in year number 1, we're around 7. This is actually kilograms of nitrogen, 7 kilograms of ammonium nitrogen. Year number 2, a little bit of variation between the two sides, but it averaged about 8. And if you look at all 6 reps averaged together, 6 kilograms of or 7 kilograms of nitrogen that came out of that pile. On average, what we're seeing across these poultry litter piles is about 55. I've got to do this in English. 55 pounds of nitrogen per ton. You do the math on that, that's 5,500 pounds of nitrogen, or 2,500 kilograms. 2,500 kilograms of nitrogen in that pile, and on average we saw about 7 pounds or 7 kilograms that came out of that. That was ammonium. Now let's take a look at nitrate. Typically in poultry litter, you'll see very little nitrate in a poultry litter, in any type of poultry litter when it first comes out of the house. And with the exception of one event in 1 year, we had a little bit of a spike. It was still pretty low. But if you look at the nitrate, we had 0.4 kilograms if you use that spike, or 0.1 kilograms if you don't, that we found in that runoff. Let's move over and talk about phosphorus. Phosphorus, you can see it's the same type of curve, but the concentrations are significantly less here, about 200 parts per million or 200 milligrams of P per liter. This is total P. Again, if we take this now and use that assumption of a 30 meter by 5.5 meter pile, look at all 6 reps. We saw on average 1.6 kilograms of phosphorus that came out of the pile. Move on now and talk about potassium. You can see potassium, you look at the concentrations are dramatically higher. We're up here around 10,000, 11,000 parts per million of potassium. And if you, again, convert this and look at the total amount of potassium, this is a nutrient that was coming out of the piles by far in the largest amount. On average, 51 kilograms of potassium that we saw in that runoff coming out of these poultry litter piles. So, that, again, keep in mind, these are two different ways of trying to look at how much nutrient is coming out of the piles. They're independent of each other. They're different parts of the pile where we're doing these measurements. So that was the runoff. Now, as I mentioned, we also took soil samples. And the way that we did this, we sampled underneath the pile, different places under the pile, and then we sampled outside the pile. So what I'm going to show you here is the difference between what we saw under the pile and outside the pile. And typically what we would see is sometimes on some piles the outer edges would be higher, sometimes the inner insides would be just as high as the outside. So what I did is I just took an average across these different piles that we had come in and taken soil samples from. Now, we had a lot more data from where we took soil samples because we had data from these different treatments that were in place. What I'm going to show you here are where we had piles for at least 90 days. And we also, one of the other things that we did, just a survey, we went out to growers who were stacking their litter in a proper manner and took soil samples across those piles also, just to increase our, all we're trying to do is figure out how much nitrogen and how much nutrients are coming out of these piles. And so what we ended up with, we've got 31 different places where we've had litter piles that have been out for at least 90 days. What we measured is concentration of nitrogen in the soil. So in order to convert this to pounds of nitrogen, I had to make some assumptions. And again, I used that same 100-ton rule, a 30-meter pile by 5.5 meters wide. And if you go across these 31 observations, our standard deviation was 3 kilograms of nitrogen. The median was 5. The mean was 5.5. The maximum was 13. And the minimum was just slightly less than 1 kilogram. So 0.9 to the very highest was 13 kilograms of nitrogen coming out of these piles. On average, only 5.5 kilograms of nitrogen. I was actually surprised when we worked through all these that the amount that actually comes out that we're seeing not that great. We also had 4 reps where we had a poly cover versus a no cover, and with that we had, you can see we're about 6 kilograms of nitrogen where we had a poly cover and about 7 kilograms where we had no poly. There was no significant difference between the two, and the poly doesn't seem to make any difference, which suggests to me that that nitrogen is probably going into the soil. A lot of it's going in as ammonia gas, more than likely. Now, finally, one of the things we also measured was soluble salts in all these soil samples. And if you look at soluble salts here, this is year number 1 data, year number 2 data, and we're looking at soluble salts versus potassium concentration. And over here is sulfur concentration. If you just look at those R-squares for these regressions, most of the soluble salt concentration, variability in soluble salt concentration could be predicted by potassium and sulfur. If we go to nitrogen, you can see there wasn't any correlation. So most of those soluble salts, the reason why we can't get anything to grow there is because of potassium salt. So just to summarize, nutrients are being lost from these piles. The nutrient loss in the greatest amount is potassium, 8 times more than nitrogen. Potassium concentrations are the main contributor to soluble salts. Poly covers provided no benefits. Nitrogen is being lost from these piles both as leachate and probably as ammonia gas. I think it's important to keep these in perspective. They're not really that great of amount of nitrogen, and so pile litter, I would say, is safer than spreading litter at the wrong time. We don't want to force people to spread their litter and have it be a more risk to the environment. Sorry about that. A little long.
Absolutely perfect. Well, there's his contact information. We'll keep going to our next speaker. Thank you, sir. Uh-huh.